My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as we begin another program here on The More Abundant Life, I would like to welcome you today to the program. Our program features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps and also inspiring music, and today we'll have just that. Today's message is entitled Lift Him Up, and Pastor Phipps presented this message to the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's one that's again going to invoke some thought, and it's going to encourage you. I am sure of that. You just stay tuned and see. So stay with us here as we continue our program today here on The More Abundant Life. We have special music as we usually do on our program today. Here is music entitled Amazing Grace.
Sin God. My message this morning, lift him up. Lift him up. The children of Israel had seen their pursuers drowned in the Red Sea. They left Egypt with nothing but a promise from God that he would take them to the promised land. And here they were now camped at Kadesh, Canaan, the promised land in view. God commanded them to send a message to the king of Edom, saying, "We, the children of your brother Jacob, have a request to make. You know all we've been through as a people in Egypt. We were enslaved and mistreated by Pharaoh. But we are camped at your southern border, and we respectfully request permission to pass through your country on the way to the promised land. We will not walk through any of your wheat fields or your vineyards. We won't even stop to drink water from your wells. We'll stay on the northern road, the king's highway, until we leave your country. The kingdom of the promised land is our destiny." Brothers and sisters, the king of Edom answered the request of the children of Israel with a denial of permission. "You may not pass through our country. If you try to cross to your promised land through our country, we will come at you with the sword. We will not let you pass." The children of Israel changed their route. They were forced to go the long way around to the promised land. And as they continued this long journey towards the south, this long way led through sandy valleys and places that had no vegetation, no shade. I don't know if you've ever been and lived anywhere where the sun was hot and needed a shade tree. A tree is a blessing wherever it's hot. But the children of Israel began to believe that if God and Moses had not interfered, they would have been in the promised land by now. After bringing trouble upon themselves and making their situation more difficult for themselves, they began to blame God for the troubles that they were having. They became discontented with everything. Egypt looked brighter and more desirable than the freedom they enjoyed or even the land they were going to possess. And they began to find fault with the blessings of God in the wilderness. You see, God will bless you in the wilderness. Even in your wilderness, God will bless you. Well, they began to say, "Why did you take us out of Egypt, Moses? You want us to die out here in the wilderness? There's no food or water. All we have to eat is this horrible white bread that falls from heaven every day. And frankly, Moses, we loathe it," they said. We're sick of it. Have mercy. They were talking about the manna that fell from heaven. Manna, the miracle from God, they criticized the miracle. Brothers and sisters, every day of their travels, the children of Israel didn't realize that they were being held together by mercy. They had found water to refresh the thirsty in their midst. They had found bread from heaven to satisfy hunger. peace and safety under a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The servant of the Lord says that angels ministered to them as they climbed the rocky heights and the rugged paths of the wilderness. And in spite of what, listen to this, in spite of all the hardships they had been through, not one person in Israel, in all of Israel, was sick. Are you with me? God will bless you in the wilderness. Have mercy, Jesus. Not one person was sick in spite of all the hardships they had been through. Nobody's feet swole up. Forgive me for saying it like that. Their feet didn't pain them. Their clothes, servant of God says, looked like they had just stopped by Saks or something, or Neiman Marcus. Their garments were fresh in the wilderness. They were lovely. They didn't look worn and old, and God had been keeping back the beast of prey in the night. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He'd kept back the poisonous snakes and the reptiles. But with all God had done for them, they still continued to complain. Because they had been shielded by divine power, they hadn't realized the dangers that were all about them. The poisonous snakes that infested the wilderness, they were called fiery serpents because when they bit you, it caused violent inflammation and speedy death. You see, the Lord, and you'll find that in Numbers 21:6, heard their complaining. Oh, my Jesus. He decided he's going to stop this criticism. Have mercy. God's people didn't even realize that all through the area they were traveling, God had kept the snakes at bay. But when God lifted his arm of protection, the snakes made their way into the camp, began biting the Israelites, and many of them died. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, to have such an impact on a whole nation, it had to be a whole lot of snakes. Now, I must confess to you this morning that the snake is one of my least favorite animals. I can handle them in zoos and handle them, are you with me today, behind caged wire but open and in the loose and moving, slithering deliberately in my direction is something I have faced before and I never ever want to face again. But I can't imagine thousands of poisonous snakes attacking God's people at the same time. No wonder the people cried out to Moses, "We have sinned. Yes. We sinned. We should never have complained. We should have never criticized you, Moses. We should have never criticized the Lord. Please, Moses, ask the Lord to get rid of these snakes." Moses prayed. The Lord heard his prayer. God said, "Okay, Moses, I want you to make a bronze serpent and put it on a tall pole. Tell my people that anyone who has been bitten by a poisonous snake, all they've got to do is look at the serpent high and lift it up on the pole, and I will heal them." Brothers and sisters, those who looked at the serpent on the pole and placed their trust in the Lord were healed. All who looked at it and turned to God in faith were healed. Some people thought it was a foolish thing to do. They didn't do it, and they died. But those who looked were saved. Now the lifting up of the brazen serpent, the bronze serpent, was to teach Israel an important lesson, that they could not save themselves from the effects of sin. And that's what it was that Jesus said to Nicodemus that day in our scripture. Brothers and sisters, my Jesus, his prophecies often sounded like threats. He said, "Destroy this body, I'll lift it up. You destroy this temple, after 3 days, I'll do what?
I'll raise it up. And then he said in our text, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will what? John 12, 32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will what? I will draw. The Lord says, take your time this morning. I will what? Draw all men unto me. Jesus was telling Nicodemus about the cross. The cross of Calvary darkened every path along which Christ would travel. Jesus knew that he came here to minister to the poor. In Nicodemus, he was telling Nicodemus that if they place me on a cross, I will draw. Praise his holy name. Brothers and sisters, if ever this world needed Christ to be lifted up, it needs it now. If ever there was a time. Because you see, the world we live in is full of fiery serpents. Trouble, tribulation. It is a world mired in shame, open rebellion. It is a world where dark clouds hang low. Sin draws its veil of shadow. We're living in a world that has arranged its culture according to centuries of demonic behavior and demonic suggestions. I believe that we have no idea how evil this world is. I have traveled to many parts of this world, and there have been parts of this world that I've gone to, brothers and sisters, where I've seen the face, the very face of evil. Who live here in America, we don't realize how blessed we are. Even with all our troubles, we're blessed. We don't realize the cruelty of people in this world. Kosovo is just a tip of the iceberg. The world that we are up against is more than just the crime we see around us and the violence we see around us. We live in a world that needs Christ to be lifted up. The servant of God says, while the church has been sleeping, Satan has been marching. Are you with me today? And brothers and sisters, this world, it is gripped in turmoil and confusion. And this word from Jesus, our Savior, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. When it seems as though like we're being swept away by evil, we've got to remember that Jesus says, even in the midst of this craziness, I still have power to draw. Are you with me today? Even in the midst of madness, I still have the power to draw. Praise his holy name. He said, I have overcome. And I, if I be lifted up, I will what? I will do what? Draw all men. Now, this word lifted up, you know, sometimes we misinterpret scripture. You know, you ever heard the text that says, like the old man said, there's a text that I claim it came to pass. He was saying that the troubles in my life come to pass. Sometimes we misinterpret scripture or we don't interpret it as correctly as we should and as we could. When Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he wasn't talking solely about us lifting him up. Are you with me today? He was saying, if I am crucified, if I be lifted up, I will, through my crucifixion, draw. Amen? He doesn't just mean that if you sing about me and praise me and testify of me, I will draw. He was really saying, if I be lifted up. That is a term used here to represent his crucifixion. Amen?
So when we think of lifting him up, too often we think of sweet things. We think of grace and glory, of praise and hymns. But when he was talking about being lifted up, I want to tell you what he was talking about. You see, brothers and sisters, I found something here that it just blew my mind. I couldn't believe what I was reading because it was just so incredible about what the crucifixion is really all about. And I got to find it because I want to share it with you this morning. Praise the Lord. Are you going to pray for me today? Praise God. I want to find this thing at this point. Because we think of the lifting Jesus up as praising. That's not what he was thinking about. He was thinking about Calvary. Let me tell you what he was thinking about. Listen, I'm going to tell you how they crucified people. That's what he was thinking about. First of all, the cross was placed on the ground. Then you are thrown backwards with your shoulders against the wood. Then the soldier starts feeling your hands and your limbs for the depression that is at the front of your wrist. And then he takes a heavy square iron nail and he drives it. You hear what I'm saying to you? This is what Jesus was thinking about. When he said, if I be lifted up, he wasn't just thinking about your praise. This is what he was thinking about. That soldier would drive a heavy square nail through your wrist and deep into the wood because it had to hold you there. And then as soon as he did that one on the right side, he would quickly, he had to do it quickly, run over to the other side and drive that nail through the wood. He had to be careful not to pull your arms too tightly because you had to have some flex and movement because they had done this before. They knew how to do it right. And then the cross was lifted into its place and fastened onto the upright and set into the hill. Your left foot was pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, the nail was driven through the arch, leaving your knees flexed. You are now being crucified, slowly sagging down with more weight on the nails in the wrists. Excruciating, fiery pain would shoot all through your fingers and up your arms and explode in your brain. And you'd push yourself upward to try to avoid the torment, the stretching. But now you feel the agony of the nail tearing on the nerves in your feet. And as the arms would get fatigued and cramps would sweep through your muscles and knot them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. And with these cramps would come the inability to push yourself upward to breathe. And the air could be drawn into the lungs, but it could not be exhaled. And you would fight to raise yourself in order to get even one small breath. And what follows in the hours of limitless pain would be cycles of twisting and, oh Jesus, looking for a place intermittent partial asphyxiation. Searing pain. Tissues would begin to tear from your back as you move up and down. Have mercy. A
against the rough timber, and then another agony would begin, a deep crushing pain within your chest as your heart cavity would fill up with serum and begin to compress upon your heart. It is almost over now. The loss of fluids has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues, the tortured lungs making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air, and finally you begin to feel the chill of death begin to creep over you, and it's so bad that you welcome death. When Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, that's what he was talking about." And there on the cross, he drew the faithful women. And he drew some of his disciples from Calvary in concentric circles. The influence of Calvary has gone out through the ages, through the world, drawing. Started at Calvary, drew the thief on the cross beside him. He even drew the centurion, the one who was in charge of the crucifixion. The one who said, "Put the nail here." The one who said, "It's time to put the spear in his side." That one got down on his knees and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." He was lifted up so we could see him as the way, the truth, and the life. He was lifted up for you. It's lifted up for me.
That brings us to the close of today's message. Program number 144 in our series can be obtained by cassette tape. If you would like to obtain a copy, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Ask for program number 144. Until next time, this is Adrian Westney, Jr. Remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life."